Good morning and welcome to CFTRI's very own Thali Tale, the fortnightly audio digest. Thali Tales brings you useful information on nutrition, food research, hygiene and food safety. Brought to you every fortnight by CSIR, Central Food Technological Research Institute, Mysuru. Volume number 1 and issue number 1, 28th February 2019. Today's menu is rice, the wonder grass, fueling the life on what are saccharides, coloring the food on what makes up the turmeric and what is drinking water. An interview with Dr. M.A. Srinivas. Why this Thali Tales? Let us hear from Dr. K.S. M.S. Raghava Rao, Director, CSIR, CFTRI. Here is his message.
Good morning, everybody. Now, if you look at the health situation in the country, poor people have one kind of problem, that is malnutrition. At the same time, even affluent people are suffering with several issues despite of their money at their disposal. So the problem is right food, right exercise, right rest. These aspects have been researched at CSIR, CFTRI, Central Food Technology Research Institute. Benefit of the research should reach the common man, especially free of cost. So in this exercise, we are disseminating this knowledge to common man through easy social media so that their increasing awareness, increasing health consciousness, the needs will be met so that health overall will increase for the Indian citizens and productivity and happiness coefficient will increase in turn. Thank you very much.
Rice, a wonder grass. Mahatma Gandhi once said, I quote, "If you give me rice, I will eat today. If you teach me how to grow rice, I will eat every day." Unquote. Yes, rice is something which we eat every day. Be it Asia or Africa, Europe or America. Although the date when rice become a household food is a matter of debate. It has been found in archaeological site as old as 8000 BC. It is grown in almost all parts of the world except the desolate South Pole. With such diversity in time, space and climate, it is natural that rice is called the wonder grain rather wonder grass. Rice varieties differ greatly in size. We have those familiar long, medium and short rices and the color rice. That too is not monotonous. Of course, we are all aware of red rice, but did you know there are varieties that are deep black in color? Burma rice is a variety that is completely black. When it comes to flavors, you can forget basmati. But basmati is the only one of many flavored varieties. Then there are varieties based on nutrition. Lastly, we have a parboiled, half-steamed or raw varieties. These are based on how we process the paddy. Rice is a type of grass and belongs to the family Poaceae or Gramineae. This group includes almost all cereals including wheat and corn. A cereal is a grain of cultivated grass like rice. And all cereals have three distinct parts called the endosperm, germ and bran. Their quality, cooking nature and nutrition depends on how these three parts are composed of. Rice belongs to the genus Oryzae. There are two species of domesticated rice. The Asian one is called Oryzae sativa and the African one is Oryzae glabirema. Both are grown globally. Rice plants are similar in growth, habit and anatomy to other grasses except they grow in standing water or in wet soil. It is a monocot which can survive as a perennial, but is normally grown as an annual plant. The rice plants grow, reproduce, and then the ripened seeds are harvested. We all know harvested rice is called paddy. Like all cereals, a paddy is a complete seed. One grain of paddy contains only one rice kernel. Each kernel has many layers. The outermost layer is the husk, the yellowish tough cover for the grain. The husk is composed of silica, a material that makes up sand, and cellulose, a substance that is present in cotton. The second layer is the bran. It consists of fiber, vitamin B complexes, proteins, and fat. In rice, it is the most nutritious part. At the base of each grain is an embryo, also called germ, which will grow into a new plant if planted. The innermost part of the grain is the real rice kernel. The essence, the kernel is mainly made up of starch. Of course, rice and other cereals cannot be consumed directly. There are many methods to make harvested paddy to edible rice. Milling is a process which removes both the tough husk and the bran, giving us the white grain. If rice is over-polished, all nutrients in the outer layers are lost. At the same time, some amount of polishing is necessary to improve digestibility. Although very nutrient, a bran also contains fiber and phytic acid, which hold on fast to the nutrients. Unless these are removed, minerals like calcium, iron, and protein are not absorbed. The best rice is one that has both the nutrient bran but also allow easy absorption of nutrients. Minimally polished rice is best from the nutrition point of view. Another aspect that affects cooking of rice is aging. Older the rice, better is the cooking quality. Methods like steaming of paddy, continuous steaming, curing, and partial parboiling partly substitute the natural aging. Cooked rice is not the only product of rice. Rice is probably the only grain that gives more than 80 products. Look around, you will find puffed rice, popped rice, flaked rice, rice flour, fermented products like idli, dosa, extruded products like noodles and pasta, papad and savories. Besides rice or paddy, also provides byproducts like rice bran oil, rice hulls, rice starch, broken rice and many others. No wonder it is called a wonder grass.
Fueling the life, the saccharides. How many elements make a man? If anyone asks this question, the answer is simple. 4. The carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen, and oxygen. Break down a human into its components, you are left with only 4 elements. The rest are negligible. It is a wonder that nature could make so many variety of forms with just these 4 elements. They make up the entire classes of chemicals in our body. The chemicals saccharides, proteins, and fats are the pillars on which the entire life system survives. Saccharides are also known as carbohydrates or sugars. The name carbohydrate is derived from 2 words, carbon and hydrate. This is because it was once believed that all carbohydrates were hydrated compounds of carbon, mainly because as one breaks down glucose, which is a carbohydrate, one gets equal portions of carbon dioxide and water. Chemically, all saccharides contain roughly 1 part of carbon and oxygen to 2 parts of hydrogen. The simplest saccharide is, of course, glucose. It has 6 carbon atoms, 6 oxygen atoms, and 12 hydrogen atoms. So when it burns in air, only water and carbon dioxide are formed. In the living world, saccharides play multiple roles. This is because they can form many different compounds depending upon the number of hydrogen and carbon atoms in them. Besides, the arrangement of the same number of carbon and hydrogen can be different. Accordingly, there are one-molecule saccharides or monosaccharides, two-molecule saccharides or disaccharides, large saccharides containing many different types of small saccharides, and so on. In addition, there are those that can easily dissolve in water and those that are not. Some are struck with a protein and some with a fat molecule. The variety is enormous. A major role of saccharides is to provide energy to the body. When a carbohydrate is split in the body, it releases energy which is used for all the work that a living being does. Every gram of glucose, when broken down, releases 4 calories of energy. Hence, carbohydrates are also called the nutrient fuel. No surprise that a large portion of food is saccharides. Besides being fuel, saccharides also help in many other ways. In many organisms, saccharides give a shape. For example, the brown hard shell of a cockroach has a saccharide called chitin. On the other hand, the long fibers that make plant pliable and not brittle is cellulose. Lignin, a gum that sticks cell walls together, is also a saccharide or sugar. Cereals, which make up a large portion of our food, contain mostly saccharides. Carbohydrates in cereals are in the form of starch, which is nothing but a large chain of smaller carbohydrate molecules called amylose and amylopectin. When heated, starch breaks down into easily digestible forms. Cooking thus helps us to digest starches, which otherwise are not available to our body. Chewing also helps the same way. The puffed rice, when put in the mouth, first feels bland and after some time tastes sweet. It takes some time for the amylose in the rice to break down into glucose by the action of saliva. Chewing thus helps to digest amylose in the mouth itself. Other saccharides that are familiar are the lactose in the milk, cellulose in cotton fibers, glycogen in the liver of animals, lignin in the wood. Chitin in insect shells are all examples of different forms of carbohydrates. There is more saccharide in plants than in animals. In animals, only about 5% of the body constitutes saccharides. But in plants, almost 25% of them could be only saccharides. Don't you think saccharides are things that make life sweeter? Coloring the food, turmeric. A food without taste, flavor, and color is just wood. Well, it's almost true that we cannot relish anything that is bland. Even sweet paisam needs a garnishing of raisins or cardamom to give it an appeal. Colorants which make food attractive are nothing new. Our very own haldi or turmeric has been used for ages to color both the food and its eater. What is in the yellow powder that gives the food that bright color? Turmeric, as we all know, is from the tuber of a plant called Curcuma longa. The plant is a cousin of ginger and belongs to Zingiberaceae, a family of plants that includes lily too. The 100-odd plants in the family grow tubers on their roots where food is stored. The turmeric tuber is also one such storage organ. The plant grows best in the tropical humid climate in a rich friable soil. The processing of the rhizomes involves boiling, drying under the sun, cleaning and polishing. Further, the rhizome fingers are milled to get turmeric powder for using it as a spice. The medicinal use of turmeric is well documented in Ayurveda. It is believed that the turmeric plant originated in the hills of Western Ghats and spread to other regions of India and Southeast Asia. The strong odor and bright color make turmeric very appealing. Dry turmeric is mostly starch. It has 8.6% protein, 8.9% fat, 63% carbohydrate and 6.9% of crude fiber. It has minerals and water-soluble vitamins such as thiamine, riboflavin, niacin and ascorbic acid at low levels. The curcuminoids are the principal coloring pigments. There are three of them. They are the curcumin, demethoxycurcumin, and bis-demethoxycurcumin. While curcumin is the main pigment, demethoxycurcumin and bis-demethoxycurcumin are its variants with a slightly different structure. Similarly, the flavor is also not because of single chemical. There are four chemicals which together give the typical turmeric smell. They are turmeron, cyanol, zingeron, and phylandrine. Turmeric color can be added to the food either in the powder form or in liquid form. The liquid form is called the oleoresin. It is prepared by extracting the color and flavor compounds from the tuber using solvents such as acetone, in which they dissolve. Later, the solvents are evaporated and only the concentrated color and flavor compounds are left behind. The bright yellow color, however, is not fast enough to last in bright sun. If exposed to bright light or to heat, the color fades. How then is it retained in food? One way is to use acidulants, which change the pH and thus prevent the color from fading. Remember the lime juice used in rasam or sambar? The curcuminoids are vested with a number of beneficial properties. They are said to be antioxidant and anti-inflammatory, neuroprotective, antihypertensive, anti-cancer, anti-diabetic, protecting against liver damage, reducing kidney damage, anti-protozoal and antibacterial, anti-HIV, cardioprotective, cholesterol-lowering, and the list is endless. To call it a curry spice or just food color is just not fair.
What is drinking water? An interview. We all know what water is, do we? Not surely. Scientists distinguish water into distilled water, mineral water, potable water, and packed water. How are these different? Well, we have with us Dr. M. A. Srinivas, Senior Technical Officer at the Central for Technological Research Institute to explain. Let's hear what he has to say. Good morning, Dr. Srinivas.
Good morning.
I am curious to know how scientists define drinking water and why.
Sure, we all know that water is essential for our existence. At the same time, it is important that we can't drink all water too. We need water that is healthy and safe for drinking. A drinkable quality of water is also called potable water. Its characters are very well defined by the Bureau of Indian Standards in a document 10500-1991. It considers all aspects of water: its appearance, taste and flavor, chemical characters like pH, turbidity, hardness and safety to consumer. This document is an important one for specification of water meant for drinking. Accordingly, any drinking water should meet the specifications defined by it. As regards safety, microbiological, heavy metal, pesticide residues, and other contaminants are considered. Generally, consumers go by the color, taste, and odor of water. However, pH and hardness of water are also important aspects. In fact, there are 35 parameters described under the standard for potable water. Drinking water is supposed to meet all those standards everywhere. Practically, it may not be possible to search water in remote places where an alternate source of water may not be available.
Dr. Srinivas, you also mentioned the microbiological safety. What do you mean by that?
Well, it means how much microbes the water contains. The BIS standard clearly mentions that drinking water sample should not contain any Escherichia coli bacteria. Normally 100 ml of water is used for sampling. If we take 100 samples of 100 ml water from a source, 95% of them should not show presence of bacteria, and even those 5% that contain should have less than 10 coliform count per 100 ml.
presence of coliform bacteria in water indicates that it is contaminated. So the source of contamination has to be identified and proper action is to be taken to avoid contamination. And as regards pH, it should be between 6.5 and 8.5, which means the water should not be too acidic or too alkaline. Hardness is also important. It is caused due to the presence of calcium and magnesium salts. For drinking water, hardness should be less than 300 parts per million. Every chemical and salt content is very well defined by the standards. Some salts, if present more than the limit, may be harmful too.
What if the water does not meet these parameters?
If water from a particular source is not meeting these standards or it contains microorganisms, then it is not potable. Such water is treated before use. Treatment can be filtration, chlorination, and so on.
People often call the packed water as mineral water. Why is that?
First of all, let me clarify. There are two types of packaged water. Packaged drinking water and packaged natural mineral water. Both are drinking water and both have to meet the BIS standards. But they are called so because of the source from which they are obtained. We must remember that the standards for packaged drinking water are much more stringent than for potable water. It is defined under IS 14543-2004. Any manufacturer selling water after packing has to take certification from BIS and license from FSSAI. Both BIS and FSSAI standards are the same. As per this, the packaging material, the bottle or glass or metal should be of food grade. FSSAI distinguished packaged drinking water into two types, packaged drinking water and packaged natural mineral water. Packaged drinking water means any drinking water that is packaged and sold. Of course, it should meet the standards. It can be from your taps, wells, rivers, and other sources. It may then be treated by various methods like filtration, reverse osmosis, ozonation, chlorination, and so on. On the other hand, the natural mineral water is distinguished because it contains certain mineral salts and is obtained directly from natural or drilled sources from underground water. It is not obtained from public water supply. Besides, care is taken to avoid any pollution. So what you get is natural. Remember, this means that it has to be collected under very pure conditions and must have the declared chemical composition at all times or seasons. It has to be packaged right where it is obtained and is not treated in any way. And as consumers, we should remember that every packaged drinking water, whether in cans or in bottles, should carry the label. Even though the standards may be the same, the treated and packaged water should be labeled as packaged drinking water. Likewise, every package of mineral water should carry the label natural mineral water in capital letters. The size of the letters is also specified.
Thank you, Dr. Srinivas. We'll come back to you with more questions in the coming weeks. Thanks for the clarifications. Dear all, that was the first Thali Tales. Hope you enjoyed it. The scripting was done by Ms. Akshata Kolegal Sharma and Dr. J.R. Manjanatha. Narration was myself, Abdul Majid, and Nida Ume Salma. Acknowledgements to YouTube and Shiva Ganesha for the intro music. Thali Tales is a free magazine produced and distributed by CSIR CFTRI Mysuru. You can also freely share Thali Tales with anyone. Listeners may send their queries and suggestions on food and related issues directly through WhatsApp to 0821-251-5910 or register at the website www.cftri.com. You can also call the number 0821-251-5910 from Monday to Friday to ask questions. Thali Tales will try to provide answers in subsequent issues. See you again next fortnight. Until then, bye-bye and have a good day.